Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, send forth your word into our ears that it may bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So what is your favorite Christmas song? What gets you singing along in the car? I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas? Sleigh Ride? What groups are on your playlist right now? Is it Straight No Chaser? Michael Bublé? When our musical choices right now are not the same as they're going to be in July, come the summer, you'll go back to whatever else it is that you like to listen to, but for now, Christmas music is the order of the day. The same is true in the church. We're singing hymns now that we wouldn't sing during other seasons, like Pentecost or Lent. Today we sang, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. We'll sing, The Angel Gabriel from Heaven Came. Just a few short days, A Candlelit Silent Night, Joy to the World, O Come, All Ye Faithful. These hymns are beautiful, but they would be an awkward choice for Labor Day weekend, and Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted would probably not go over very well on Christmas Eve, because certain songs are only proper in the right setting. There's other times where they just don't fit. But that's not the case with Mary's song. No, Mary's song, found at the end of today's gospel reading from Luke, commonly referred to as the Magnificat, now Mary's song is appropriate at all times, in all places. We just sang a setting of it as our sermon hymn. It's not a song that was significant only for Mary, but has no importance for us. It's not a hymn that was useful and proper in the first century, but has lost its meaning somewhere between then and now. No, Mary's song is our song. It is the song of the whole church, at all times, in all places, including here and now. Let's take a few minutes to walk through it and see why. The common title for Mary's song is the Magnificat. It's taken from the opening words, My soul magnifies the Lord. Now, when we use that word magnify today, we're usually talking about making something bigger, like using a magnifying glass. That's obviously not what Mary means. She's not saying God's name is somehow small or insignificant and therefore needs to be magnified. No, to magnify means to praise. Just like we see in the next line, My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. As Luther wrote about Mary's song, he said, just as the book title indicate what's the contents of the book, so this word magnifies is used by Mary to indicate what her whole hymn is going to be about, to praise the great works and the deeds of God. See, Mary's hymn is a hymn of praise. That word praise, it's common in Christian circles, and it should be. The call for us to praise our Lord is all over the scriptures. But there's oftentimes something missing from a lot of the praise. That's the because. You see, in Scripture, praise always has a because. We praise the Lord because he has delivered us. We praise the Lord because he has created us. Or as we sing in our liturgy, we thank the Lord and sing his praise by telling everyone what he has done. You see, it's not generic praise. It's praise with a purpose. It's blessing with a because. That's what Mary does. She looks at the many wonderful things our Lord has done for her. He looked upon her, though she was in humble estate. To quote Luther again, she does not glory in her own worthiness or unworthiness, but only in the gracious regard of God. And the stress lies not on the word humble, but on the word regard. For not Mary's humility, but God's regard is being praised. God's regard is always to be praised. For it's only because of his mercy that he looks upon us sinners at all. And Mary rejoiced that God looked upon her in her weakness. And so also we too rejoice that God has looked upon us in our weakness. As we prepare to celebrate the birth of our Lord, we remember that he came to earth. He looked upon us when we were completely unworthy. God showed his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were humble, while we were unworthy, God looked upon us with favor. And he still looks upon us with favor in our lowly estate. Our Lord does not look upon us or regard us because we have the right job, because we drive a nice car. He does not look upon us with favor because we serve on church boards or sing in the choir. He does not look upon us with favor because of anything in us, not because we're especially good at trusting or believing or praying or anything else. He doesn't look upon us in favor because of who we are. It's because of who he is. He looks upon us with favor because of Jesus. As our Trinity sculpture reminds us every time we come into this room, our Father looks upon us only through his Son. And so Mary's song continues, "He who is mighty has done great things for me." Well, he's done great things for us too. He's shown strength with his arm, brought down the mighty sinful flesh, brought down its reign of terror over our lives. He has filled our hungry souls with good things, the good things of the gospel, the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. As the psalmist says, those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. He has helped his servant Israel, who is the church. He has brought her back with his own suffering and death. Left to ourselves, we are unworthy to receive anything from our Lord except his judgment. The only thing we have earned on our own is an eternity of separation from him, but our Lord has looked upon our lowly standing and had mercy on us. He has indeed done amazing things for us. He was born as one of us, born into this world of sin. He lived as one of us, redeeming our lives by fulfilling God's law on our behalf. And he died as one of us, died in our place, even though he was innocent. He who was innocent became guilty in our place, so that we who are guilty could become innocent in the eyes of the Father. Yes, our Lord truly has done amazing things for us. And why has he done marvelous things for us? Why has he looked upon us in our unworthiness and done these great things? Well, Mary tells us. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. Our Lord has done great things for us, not because we are worthy, but in remembrance of his mercy. Because he's a God who keeps his promises, like the promise of salvation he made to Abraham in the covenant of grace. And because he is a loving and merciful God, the one who sent his Son into the world, born of a virgin, in order that we might be saved, now we have been redeemed. And because we have been redeemed, all generations will call us blessed. Our names might not get written in the history books like Mary's. We might not ever sing or pen a hymn that'll be part of the church's liturgy for millennia. But we are still blessed. For the Lord has spoken a word of blessing upon us. And he did that when he spoke a word of forgiveness. As David says in Psalm 32, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity." We are blessed because we are forgiven. Blessed because we are baptized into the name of Jesus. Blessed because we are fed with the body and blood of our Savior. That's what Psalm 34 says. "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Or Psalm 65. "Blessed is the one the Lord chooses and to whom the Lord draws near." To be blessed is to be forgiven by the Lord, and to be alive in that forgiveness. And that's what we are. So there's much to celebrate at Christmas. There's a number of good songs that fit the season. But we're children of God. And so we don't just sing about Rudolph and Frosty and jolly old St. Nicholas. We celebrate the incarnation of our Lord. So we sing Mary's song. We are blessed in the Lord. We have been made alive in his forgiveness. The one who was born among the lowly and the humble, among the shepherds and the cattle, Jesus, our Savior, well, he has looked upon us who are lowly and humble, and he has exalted us to a place of honor. So let us join Mary to rejoice in God our Savior, who has looked upon us in our humble estate, who has done great things for us. For holy is his name. Amen.